Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And here we are again, the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, episode number 12. We made it to a dozen, Steve.
We did indeed. I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe. Glad to have you guys with us for the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
Helping youth workers to keep going. Hey, we want to give a big shout out to the winner of the Sherpas prize pack. We had the drawing this morning.
Yes, it was actually recorded live on Facebook. Maybe you already saw that.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
Kyle Hoffsmith. He's a youth worker in Pennsylvania, and he is the winner of the Sherpa prize pack.
So good things coming his way ever so soon.
Yes, he's going to be super excited about that. So congratulations, Kyle. So Matthew, I know that today you're probably a little bit down in the dumps because one of your favorite all-time Packers has left the fold.
I'm mourning. Yeah. You must be talking about my man, Jordy Nelson.
Yes. He's left the Packers. Well, actually, they released him, didn't they?
I can tell you exactly where I was the moment I got the tweet that the Packers released Jordy Nelson. I stood there in shock in the auditorium at church going, what does this even mean?
It's painful. And what makes it even worse is he is signed with the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, because there was a moment that I held on hope that they had this plan where they were going to release him and re-sign him for less money that was like working behind the scenes. And I waited. And then yeah, the Oakland Raiders. And
soon the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Are they there yet? I don't know.
I don't even know how that's going down. But either way, now the fact that he's going to put a different hat on his head just sort of breaks my heart a little bit.
I understand.
It's the business. It happens.
It is. My buddy Andrew McCutcheon's putting on a Giants hat this fall or this summer. And it's a terrible, terrible thing.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah. So Mike Tomlin has this saying, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, whenever he's talking about who's going to be active for that day's football game, he says that they get a hat. That's the phrase that he uses.
Because they've got responsibilities that day. Put the hat on, you got to go to work.
That's right. And so Jordy Nelson, unfortunately for Packers fans, is now going to be wearing a hat that's silver and black.
Right.
How depressing.
It is depressing, but, you know, again, he's going to get a hat because he's got to go to work. He's got things to do, things to get done.
Yep. We had quite the day yesterday, each of us. We had a busy day packed with meetings, right?
Love those days.
Yeah.
Aren't those the greatest?
So here's what my meetings look like. Started off with a meeting with my staff team, my youth team here at the church. After that, I had lunch with one of the local youth pastors to catch up with him and encourage him. I came directly from that back to the church and had a meeting with a student who was a little bit troubled and had to have a conversation with that student. After that, I went to Bible study. And then after that, I had some premarital counseling. And that was at like 8:30 last night at Starbucks. Went till 10 o'clock. So it was quite a day filled with many different things.
Full day for you. Yeah, yesterday, my day, I had a 9:30 Skype call with a missionary that we sent from our church to Germany. Followed that up with a 10:45 phone interview for someone we're looking to hire for our middle school job. Went right from that into an 11:30 a.m. creative brainstorming meeting with my worship pastor and a video friend of ours who's going to help us make a video for the church. Went right from that to lunch with a former student who's brokenhearted over a recent breakup.
Okay.
To kind of just help that person sort of navigate that time. Came back to another interview for this position we're hiring, into some filming for a video we're making for our spring retreat. And then right to a 4 o'clock interview with a third candidate for our job.
Wow.
And then came back to the church at 7 o'clock last night for a meeting with an elder and a member of the board of directors for something not really related to student ministry.
So you full had every day. Kind of meeting yesterday.
Absolutely. Didn't even see a minute of basketball.
That's a shame.
It is.
So that just got us thinking about the many hats that we wear in student ministry. When we started out in student ministry, you know, I thought the hat was you teach youth group and you hang out with kids. It's like the typical, stereotypical youth pastor hat, right?
Right.
which is usually backwards.
Absolutely, flat built.
Yeah, maybe for the younger ones, it's a flat built. Yeah. And that's what you do. You hang out with kids and you teach the Bible, and that's pretty much what youth ministry is.
Here's your hat. Seems. Thank you for signing up to be a youth worker. Here's your hat.
That's so far from the truth, isn't it?
There are, unfortunately, a bushel of hats.
There are many hats.
That we get to wear. Some of them fit within that, you know, it's like a sub-hat to the youth worker hat.
Right.
But there's just so many of them that, really, they're their own hat.
Yeah.
And then there are some hats that, you know, don't even seem to have anything to do with student ministry, but yet we wear them.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about that today.
Yeah, we thought it'd be good to talk about, because once you understand, you know, what's expected of you and just the many, many different things that you have to be involved in as a youth leader, it just makes it easier to accept them and kind of lean into those things and actually enjoy them.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about those hats today, and we came up with a bunch, and there are many, many more that we're not going to mention.
This is
today.
Not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination.
We could go on forever and ever and ever. So we're just going to walk through a few of these hats. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Maybe there's some that you're thinking of that you want to message us about, and we'll talk about in a future episode. So the first hat we put on as the youth leader is
the teaching hat.
Yeah.
And this is the hat that we probably knew we were going to put on.
Absolutely.
When we took the job, because definitely we need to teach. We have to have a program. We have to talk to our kids.
Yep.
We have to teach our kids scriptures. So we lead Bible studies. We lead small groups. We write messages. We plan services so that we can have an opportunity to just help our students understand more of who Jesus is, why it matters, what it means to follow them, and just unpack scripture for them. So we got to teach.
This is a really important hat, and I'm sure everyone listening realizes that. And it takes a certain amount of our time. We have to be dedicated to this hat to responsibly handle the Word of God and lead our students to Jesus. So it's a very important hat that we wear. I think we have to take this one pretty seriously.
Yep, and there's lots of different forms that hat
Absolutely.
Takes. Again, it could take the hat of leading a small group Bible study, just entering conversation. That hat could be worn when you're sitting at Starbucks with a kid, just helping them understand what this passage that he read the other day meant. Could mean that hat means you're standing up in front of a group of 20 kids or 100 kids or anywhere in between.
Yeah.
So lots of different forms of the hat, but it's a big hat in student ministry.
It is a big hat. And hopefully, you feel comfortable wearing that hat as a youth leader. And we'll talk in future episodes about teaching and preparing messages and some of that kind of thing. But this is just a really, I think, a rewarding hat to wear, because we are really gifted with the opportunity to teach God's Word. And it's just something that we can't take for granted and really have to lean into.
Yep, another hat we wear that we probably knew we were going to wear when we get into this is
the event coordinator hat.
The event coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm party planner or I don't know. It's a little bit overwhelming sometimes how many events we end up planning.
Right, and again, this is an important part of student ministry, because a key to student ministry, and we've talked about this in former episodes, we'll talk about it again, is the ministry of presence, right?
Yeah.
Being with students, building relationships with them. Well, you can't do that if you're not with them, and so you need to plan events so that you have an opportunity to be with them. So
sure.
It's part of the deal.
It is. There is a sense in youth ministry of this perpetual nature of things. I look out at the calendar, and we're always just thinking about the next event and trying to plan as far out as possible. But man, it just comes in waves, doesn't it? Do you ever just get exhausted planning events?
Oh, absolutely. Just the nature of putting a calendar out and saying and thinking, it would be a good idea to have an event on this day.
Right.
And then let's plan another one for that date. And then you look back on it and you go, wow, that looks great. And then you get to actually having to pull those events off, planning them, setting up for them, cleaning up after them, promoting them, getting kids to come. And then you start thinking, I think we put too many events on the calendar.
Absolutely.
At least I know I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, we've done that, I know. And I'm just looking into the spring as we get into May and June. We have all of our transition events. We have a senior banquet that we do. It's a really busy time in youth ministry. And then we go into summer where we have more events. It just seems like it never ends, and it can be pretty exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would just encourage all of us to consider putting some natural rhythm into those events and having some periods of a little bit of a break. I know, like, you guys kind of take off towards the end of the summer, right?
Yeah, we do actually do a two-week, we call it a two-week sabbatical. Yeah. The student ministry goes into a sabbatical where there are no events, no meetings, no anything. It's a time for, you know, specifically the leaders to rest and refresh and reset. But honestly, we think it's a good opportunity for the students. It typically goes the week prior to when they go back to school and the first week that they are in school, giving them an opportunity to focus because their school is full of events and activities and things they need to do. And so it gives them an opportunity to live into that, and then we fire back up again. So it's become a nice rhythm. And I think
we do something similar to that.
Yeah, at first there was some pushback, like, oh, 2 weeks without anything, and now it's such a part of the rhythm, it's just normal.
Yeah, I think we actually go 3 or 4 weeks. We have a baptism service in there, but yeah, we take a break at the end of the summer. I think it's good. And also, we're busy planning all the events for the fall.
For the fall, absolutely. So you need that
We
break.
Need that time, absolutely. Yeah.
The another hat that sort of flows a little bit into the event coordinator becomes then the travel agent hat.
The travel agent. Man, did I you feel think like you
were
going to
be?
Agent.
Did you think you were going to be a travel agent?
I had no idea. It's amazing how many different places I've been able to go as the youth pastor. I never thought that that's... That was going to be as significant of a hat as it is.
I did not know that I would know what bulk airfares were and how to find them and how to, you know, but that was just things, you know, if you want to do a missions trip, well, you got to get there. So now you got to figure out how to get there and, so.
Oh, and you're managing, like, you got to make the reservation, but you can't commit to the every kid until you know exactly who's going to,
go on the trip.
Apply for the trip, and oh gosh, it becomes pretty difficult. Another part of the travel agent that I don't like is arranging transportation to camps.
Oh
my gosh.
Buses, 15-passenger vans. Who's driving? Who's not driving? Who are we picking up where? Is everybody going to be on time? Oh, it's just...
I hate picking up rental vehicles. I just... Oh, my gosh.
Well, the coordination that's involved was just getting the vehicles to the church to go on the event.
It's crazy.
How many people do I need to get to the rental dealership? How am I getting to the rental dealership? How are we getting back there when it's over?
Yeah, we've got to get the driver's licenses for the other people who are going to be driving the van to the rental place.
Because they can't be there because they're at work that day.
Because they're not picking it up. It gets ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And when you're doing events, especially when you're just starting out in youth ministry and you know, you have like just enough seats for the kids in the vehicles, you know, maybe you have 15 kids signed up for the bowling party and you got to get them there, and you got a 15-passenger van. If the 16th kid shows up, how do you get them?
You're in trouble. Absolutely.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. And then of course there's the, you know, youth group's over. How are you getting home? I don't know how I'm getting home. Yeah. Hey, Susie, you live near that. Can you give them? I mean, you're trying to coordinate kids getting home and the text on Sunday afternoon. Hey, could I get a ride to youth group tonight? Yeah. My parents are out of town. Like, yeah, I have nothing else to do tonight other than come over and, you know. So then you're like, no, I can't. But let me call, you know, this leader who lives in your neighborhood. Maybe they could pick you up on the way through. And I just, I did not see that coming, that I would spend that much time trying to coordinate getting people to or from.
You're actually a youth pastor, a youth leader, doubling as a travel agent.
As a travel
agent. One of my favorite TV shows is The Americans. Have you ever seen that show?
I do like The Americans.
You know what their job is by day.
They're cover.
They're travel agents by day, but they're really Russian spies.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, occasionally they'll take somebody out at night. I mean, take them out.
Exactly.
Put them in the trunk of their car and then come in and they'll book a flight to wherever.
Here's my question though, you know, the travel agent, that's a business. People make a living doing that because there's a commission. Do you get a commission when you coordinate a ride home for a kid from youth group or pick up a rental van?
I don't.
You haven't seen that? I wonder where that money goes.
If I could have had 10% for every vehicle rental in all my years of youth ministry, holy cow, I'd be retired.
You'd be retired. You'd be living large.
So, yeah, we have to play the role of the travel agent, getting people from here to there. It's never going to be easy. It's just, it's part of the job.
Absolutely. And when you are an event coordinator, and you wear that hat, and you wear the travel agent hat, you also have to put on the communication director hat.
That's right. You have to let everybody know where to be, when to be there, what's happening. That communication is constant. Mm-hmm. It's just constant with parents, with the rest of the church, with the students.
Here we are in 2018, so many different ways of communicating, right? So easy to communicate in multiple platforms. I can go into one program and send an email, a text, and have it automatically tweeted out to our account. I mean, what a beautiful time to be alive. I remember when promotion was creating a flyer on the one computer that was at the church,
right,
printing it out, taking it to a printer, getting it printed, and then putting it in envelopes. I can remember oftentimes coming home after being at the office with a box because I wanted to watch TV and fold and stuff and lick stamps. I remember when they came out with self-adhesive stamps. It was like one of the greatest. It was one of the greatest days for me as a youth worker.
A technological marvel.
It was a marvel.
The world had moved forward.
Absolutely.
It progressed. Yeah, back in the day when we used clip art, and we joked about that. Was it back in episode one?
I think so. Yeah, all the way back.
You had to actually cut out the clip art or photocopy the clip art and then cut it out and glue it to the flyer and then copy the flyer and then stick that in the mail. Oh, my gosh.
And do you know what the irony is?
What's that?
Now, here we are in 2018 where communication is so much easier, so much more accessible, so much more available.
And we're probably spending more time on it than ever.
Yeah, I wonder if the pendulum has swung too far because, Steve, have you ever sent a very detailed email to your students and or your parents about said event that you have coordinated, right? Only to have them reply to the email
about
asking a question that was clearly described in the email.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's never happened.
Never happened.
Oh,
never
it's
happened.
Worse than that. It's on. I'll put the event on Facebook with the registration form in PDF. It'll be promoted in Instagram. It'll be in the churches, the church-wide weekly email that goes out. It will be directly emailed to every student and parent in the youth ministry with the registration form attached. It'll be talked about at youth group for ad nauseum months in advance. And then what happens? You get the call at the last second. Hey, I need information about the retreat.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Where have you been?
Right,
you
right.
have every opportunity. How many do you want me to send it by carrier pigeon and drop it at your doorstep?
I believe they want you to come to their house.
I believe they do.
And deliver it. And you know, it,
get the signature right there.
And get the signature and have them sign up. Yeah, it can be frustrating. Or obviously the you know, they've signed up for the retreat. So we've crossed that communication barrier. They actually signed up for the retreat. And then you sent them the confirmation letter. And then the week of the retreat, you sent them the packing list, what
right.
time to be at the church, when the bus leaves. And then on Thursday night, you get a text.
Oh, usually it's Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon. What time does the bus leave?
Right.
So I have crafted a semi-passive-aggressive response to especially serial offenders to said thing that just says, did you get the confirmation that came to your email 3 days ago? If they say yes, then all I say is that information is accessible there. Like, because I think... Otherwise,
you feel
we
like
can.
You're making them codependent.
I could. I might be enabling them, and I wish I could say that I'm a bigger person, that I have not, on occasion, again with maybe a serial offender on the parent side who replies to the email that has the information they're asking for, that I have highlighted said information and replied back, see below, which is really not my finest moment, and I to all you youth workers out there, I do not encourage this behavior because it felt good for a moment, but actually it causes more trouble than it's worth. So we have to take our communication director hat seriously.
Yeah, it is important. So, and it's important to do as much of that as we can to, you know, to keep people informed. And we also have to realize that even though we do everything, there's still going to be
people who don't know.
So just take that for what it's worth. Then we want to talk about a few other hats that are maybe a little bit more on the, have a little bit more intrinsic value to us.
Yes. The hats we really like wearing.
Yeah. The ones that maybe are a little bit more fun to wear. So the next one we want to talk about is the hat of the encourager.
Yes. It is one of our primary responsibilities to encourage and encourage on multiple levels.
Yeah. I think about encouraging students first and foremost. They live in with so much discouragement, seemingly stressed and beaten down all the time. And we talked about that with Brock Morgan. There's so much stress and anxiety. And I just see it as a mission every day to encourage some of the students. I try to text a couple kids every day with something specific just to encourage them.
Yeah, because we can't even imagine what kind of lifeline that could be for a student.
Absolutely.
To receive some encouragement in this world that's probably been beating them down already for the
day. Yeah. Everybody needs encouragement. Students need encouragement. You know, if I was a teenager and I was receiving an encouraging message from an adult who cared about me, that would be super meaningful.
We'd go a long way, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We also need to encourage our volunteers.
We do.
You know, the people that bleed for our ministry and love our kids on top of their full-time jobs. We need to encourage them.
I think we need to encourage them on a couple of different levels. We need to, first of all, encourage our volunteers as human beings. Just appreciate them and love them and shepherd them. That's really important that they know that they're valuable to us, not because of what they're doing, how they serve us or what they get done, but just because we love them.
Who they are. Yeah. Right.
They're God's precious people and they're our friends. So we want to encourage them on that level. At the same time, I think we want to encourage them in youth ministry. We want to encourage them to be reaching out to the students, inviting them to the next youth gathering or to the retreat or to maybe contact their parents and ask how they can pray, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this in the episode last week, the idea of making sure we communicate with them some of the victories that we're seeing and not assuming that they know that good things are happening in this kid's life or this kid's family.
Yeah, that's good.
To encourage them that the sacrifices they're making, the effort they're putting in is not in vain, that it's making a difference in that. So when we hear good stories about students, we can encourage our volunteers by sharing those stories with them. And that's something I've been convicted of lately, is that I just don't think that I do that enough.
Yeah.
You know, so to encourage them in that way.
Yeah. So I actually, as part of my personal job description, I have a day timer that I keep. I actually have a whole section just encouragement, and I keep a list of names there of people that pop into my head that I think I either need to get with, you know, take a student out, or have a special, just a special memory to encourage them that week.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's really important.
Yep, and again, we live in 2018, so
it's easy.
The opportunity to lob out a text or write on their Facebook or send them an Instagram note, you know, just a simple little encouragement, I think we think could be small and it could be huge.
You send any handwritten letters anymore?
I do every now and again. I don't send them because I still don't like licking stamps, and the self-adhesive are more expensive.
What, they send themselves.
No, I like to handle it. I do like to write a handwritten note.
Yeah.
And then hand that to a leader or a student.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I try to do that too. Just write a note, say, hey, we missed you, or I just appreciate what you did last Sunday. I saw you talking to so and so and encouraging them.
Yep.
Try to put that in writing. I've had students come back, you know, a couple years later and say, I still remember when you sent me that note in the mail. And I just think that's really cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We also think it's really important to encourage one another in youth ministry, to encourage other youth workers and youth pastors. Yep. We take that responsibility in our local community really seriously. And I love that. I love the opportunity to get with somebody and just hear how it's going for them and be able to pray for them. Just did that yesterday.
Yeah,
great.
Absolutely. The opportunity to just grab a lunch or a breakfast or go grab coffee, not to get any work done or work on a combined event, but just to say, how are things going in your world, and encourage them, just because we know that we need that encouragement. I mean, I know when I've gone out to lunch or had coffee with a local youth worker, that's an encouragement to me as well, because I see God moving in another church, in another way, and that just fires me up and gets me excited to get back on the horse and get going.
We're all part of the same community of youth workers, and that's a pretty awesome place to be. It's a great residence to live in, and we want to be able to encourage other people. I love it when people encourage me.
Yep. We also think it's important to encourage our parents.
True.
The parents of our students, because we often get a different view of our students than the parents do. Mm-hmm. And again, I can say this because I have teenagers myself, and I know that I love my kids. My kids are great. I mean, love them to death. But it's a difficult time. Difficult time for them, difficult time for us as parents. And so to have people kind of speak encouragements of like catching our kids doing something great or how they're great. You know, I've had several people even just come to me you know, not other youth workers, but other people come to me and say, man, oh, man, your kids are so great. Of course, sometimes I want to go like, have you met them?
Yeah.
You know, which is, I'm saying that.
You're mistaking me for someone
else. Yes, I'm saying that in jest, but you do think that. But oftentimes our kids do have a different kind of personality and persona outside
true.
Of the house.
That's true.
And we can get bogged down in all the stuff we're trying to fix and correct and discipline. And it's nice to hear, hey, you know, your son really, you know, befriended this new person who came to youth group the other day. And I tell you, that just would, for me, and as a person, as a parent, man, I would float for weeks on that.
Oh, there's so many times when I've been discouraged as a parent, thinking, I suck as a parent, you know? And then you get a word of encouragement from somebody else. Oh, it just goes so far.
Yeah, so, and so
you got to be intentional about that.
We have the opportunity as youth workers to see those
absolutely.
Things, and then we have to act on them. We have to, you know, be intentional about getting that to the parents, whether it, again, it's a handwritten note or an email.
The great thing is it doesn't take long. It can be short, and it's still super meaningful to people. So it's a really important hat to wear.
The encouraging hat.
Yeah. Then there's the counselor hat, right?
Counselor hat, for sure.
That's one that I really struggle with. I'm not a very good counselor. I don't particularly feel gifted or enjoy doing that, but I know it's part of ministry life. It's part of youth pastor life.
Absolutely.
Some of you, maybe that's your thing. You might be great at that. God bless you.
Yep.
Happy for you.
Yep. If you're a student and you're in trouble, one of the first, you know, not in trouble, like just having a difficult time, you need some help, you're probably going to call one of your youth workers.
Yeah.
I mean, if because they're a safe person, they're a trusted person, they're somebody you look up to. And so we've got to be able to put that hat on that is able to say, okay, tell me what's going on, to give some empathy and to give some compassion and just listen to see what's going on. I mean, again, just yesterday, you know, that was a former student, college-age student now, that just called and said, man, I'm just having a hard time. And so it was, you know, all right, I'll meet you at Cafe Rio. We'll drown our sorrows in some nachos and some sweet pork tacos. And you know, I don't know that I was able to, I wasn't able to fix anything for that student yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But you listened.
But I listened, and I was able to say, yeah, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm with you, that sucks. You know?
Yeah.
And so we got to do that. I mean, parents, you know, are going to call when they're having a hard time with something with their kid. They're gonna give you a call and be like, hey, I need you to help me sort through this. And we got to be ready to put that hat on and sit down with them. And again, not fix it, not solve it for them, but help them, counsel them.
Yep.
Towards maybe a good solution.
Yeah. And the last hat we thought of was the parent hat. What we mean by that is we're really parents to all of the students in our ministry to some degree. You know, there's this sense that, well, you know, it might be different for us because we're a little bit older. We do feel like the dads of the youth ministry because...
Because we are.
Because we are. But you're always, you have so many kids, right? All the kids belong to you in a sense. You're responsible for all of them. And you take great care and concern over them. It's a different hat to wear.
Yeah, we're not saying that you put that hat on because you need to parent the child.
Or replace the parents.
Yes. That is definitely their job, and we're not trying to take that job, but it's kind of that ownership of it. You know, I remember being at a youth specialties conference years and years ago, and the skit guys were up there encouraging youth workers, right? And they were doing this sketch where one of them was a parent, an actual parent of a kid at a middle school band concert, and the other one was playing the role of a youth worker who had gone to that concert because many kids from the youth group in there. And of course, if you've been to a middle school band or orchestra concert, you know the pain of being in the audience in said concert. They have not quite reached their musical potential yet.
It's usually in the school gymnasium. It's usually about 98 degrees.
And it sounds like they're torturing cats somewhere.
You feel like you're inside a volcano. Actually.
Yes, and so the, you know, the skit guys are making a good joke about that. You know, their facial expressions as they're listening to the concert. And then they engage in this conversation, and the youth worker says to the parent, oh, who's your son or daughter? And they say, oh, that's Susie up there on the violin. And then parent reciprocates and says back to the youth worker, well, which kid is yours? And then the humor of it was, well, there's Johnny on the drums, and then there's Sue over there and Phil. And then the other parent is, like, looking. And it was that came home that, yeah, I'm not just going to the band concert to see kids from my youth group. I'm going to see my kids.
They're my kids. They're my kids,
yeah. You know, and who would go to a middle school band concert if they weren't your kids?
Absolutely.
A youth worker would go because they're putting a hat on that says, these are mine.
It's a great hat to wear.
Yeah, it is a great hat. Well, I mean, unless you're going to a middle school band concert, then it's a difficult hat to wear.
Well, I said that was the last hat, but there's actually one other hat, and that is the duties as assigned
hat. Other duties as assigned, the miscellaneous hat.
So if you are in ministry, you know that this hat exists, and you really don't have a choice about it. It's just going to be placed upon your head whether you want it or not.
Yep, you're going to have to go to a staff meeting.
Yes.
You know, or an elder meeting or a board meeting where all kinds of things not related to student ministry are going to be talked about and discussed.
Yes. It may be things that you're interested in. It may be things that you're thinking, why am I at this meeting?
Why am I even here?
We've all been in those meetings. It's just par for the course, man. You just gotta do it.
And the other hard thing is if you're a younger youth worker out there, you're going to go to those meetings and you might even think, no, I actually care about this conversation and I have some ideas about this conversation.
But nobody's listening.
But nobody wants to listen to those ideas because of your age or your experience. And that can be discouraging and absolutely frustrating. But again, as we think about the kind of the purpose of this podcast, the longevity, the keeping youth workers going, the good news is with longevity, with experience, and with age, all of a sudden, your voice matters.
Yeah.
And they want to know what you think about that thing. And so it's a benefit to staying in the game.
Patience is a virtue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What other duties is assigned could there be?
I was thinking about van driver.
Absolutely.
We talked about that before. I've never gotten my CDL license because I never wanted to have to drive the bus.
Yeah. I did once. I drove the bus. And it was not a good plan.
The cleaning crew.
Absolutely.
We got to clean up the church after the events.
Yeah, got to set up the chairs and the tables for the women's tea.
We have youth pastor friends who mow the grass, who clean the church. I mean,
I am the default IT guy at my church. Have been in the last two churches that I've served. Not because I have a particular skill at IT. It's because of all the other staff, I know the most. Therefore, when somebody needs to set their computer
up to print, I'm the least dumb when it comes to IT in your church.
That is a great title. I am the least dumbest person when it comes to IT.
Plus, at least in my context. They pay you a bonus for that, don't they?
That would be a negative, Ghost Rider. Pattern is full. Somebody needs their printer set up, they're calling me. Hey, can you set up so-and-so's printer to print on the big printer in the office? And the answer is yes, because I know how. So my encouragement is don't learn how to do certain things, because once you know how to do them, then you're going to be held responsible for those things. Yeah. Don't learn how to set up a printer or anything like that.
I feel really sorry for all of you, the youth leaders out there who play the guitar and sing, because you're probably the worship leader too.
Absolutely.
I hope you love it. I wish I had that gift, but that's another hat that I'm sure many youth leaders are wearing too.
Absolutely.
So
lots of hats.
We covered a lot of hats today, and I'm sure there's dozens more, and we'll probably think of them as soon as we're finished.
Absolutely. And if you want to go out to our Facebook group or our Facebook page and tell us a hat that we didn't cover today. We'd love to hear your ideas of the different hats that you have to wear in your context.
There's one other hat that we get to put on as veterans in youth ministry, and we just want to share this with you as an encouragement to stay in it. Last night, my last meeting was a premarital counseling meeting, and this year alone, I'm doing so far 4 weddings. And 3 of them are former students who graduated from my youth ministry over the years. Last year I did like 5, I think. It's so cool to be able to have influence in students' lives beyond the student ministry. They come back to you as young adults. They come back to you and ask you to do their weddings for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to put on the wedding officiant hat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great hat. In fact, I posted a picture on the Sherpa's Facebook page here over Christmas break when I was down in Florida.
Right.
We stopped by and visited a family. They have 4 kids now. And it was the first wedding that I got to officiate as a youth worker, because it was the first student that I kind of saw through the ministry and then launched, and then they came back and said, would you officiate our wedding? And I got to put that hat on, and of course now here it is almost 20 years later, I got to put the hat on of like seeing their the house they're living in, the career he's got, and the family they have, and the kids they have. And it's probably the hat that fits the best on my head, but it took a long time to even be able to put the hat on, let alone have it fit well.
And that wedding officiant hat, I think it's really representative of...
It's not about officiating weddings.
Right. It's about the fruits of being in a place for a long time and having influence over years in people's lives so that when they are going through big life events, you're the person that they think of. I mean, that's such an honor, such a blessing to be in that place. And it's just a really cool thing that comes with a lot
This morning on my way here to meet you, I stopped by... a grocery store that was reopening, and one of my former students is the manager at that grocery store, and so he got to cut the ribbon, and it was a big community event, and so I was there with the camera, with the phone out, Snapchatting it for historical records, obviously, to be a part of these events, and this is a student that, you know, graduated, 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you know? That's really cool.
It's cool.
So you think about hats. You know, Jordy Nelson now leaving the Packers, going to Oakland. At least he'll always be remembered as a Green Bay Packer.
For me, anyway.
But for the football players who jump around from team to team, or baseball players are worse, you know, they wear 12 different hats.
Right,
they
before went, it's over.
They were free agents 8 times. And they don't have the rewards of, you know, being honored in that ring of honor for their team because they weren't there long enough. And we just want to encourage all of us to stay in a place, to stay in this youth ministry gig long enough to be able to wear that longevity hat that comes at the end.
It's a beautiful hat.
It really
wonderful
is.
Wonderful hat. So, hey, Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going. That's the point here.
Absolutely. So, coming up in April, we want to let you know about Sherpa Shorts. We're going to be going through 26 consecutive days of really short Sherpa episodes. Each day we're going to take a letter, and we're just going to talk about that letter as it relates to youth ministry. It's going to be a boatload of fun.
Absolutely. Where one person will know the letter and have something already prepared to say about it. The other person has to freeform and think about it. So there should be some good energy there, and we're looking forward to it.
We're going
to
release those in addition to our regular Tuesday drops of every episode. So stay tuned for the Sherpa Shorts. We're super excited about that.
All right. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. Jump on there. Send us a note. We'd just love to hear what's going on out there in the youth ministry world.
Yeah, we love you guys, and we're really grateful that you keep listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers keep going. We'll talk to you next time.
See you around. Sherpas out.